This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
Did you like the Bears trading a six-round draft pick for the Rams for guard Jonah Jackson, an off-injured player who will earn $17.5 million next season in roster bonus and salary combined? How do you see Jackson fitting in to this offensive line?
I'd like this move a lot because it seems intentional to me. The Bears targeted a player they knew was familiar with Ben Johnson's scheme and approach from having spent several seasons with him in Detroit before going to L.A. last year in free agency, signing a three-year, $51 million contract with the Rams. And it didn't work out because he got a shoulder injury, and then he was coming back, and he got re-injured, and it just wasn't very good in terms of his experience with the Rams. So they let him seek a trade. But at one point in time, Sean McVay thought he was worth signing. And what happened in L.A. happened in L.A. He is an injury issue and a concern. But I don't know that if you're Ben Johnson, that was enough to keep you away from somebody who might help answer your biggest problem and biggest question about your offensive line. So I reached out yesterday, a couple offensive people I know around the league. One who has been an offensive line coach and is now currently on an NFL staff said this about Jonah Jackson, who he scouted coming out when he was a free agent a year ago, said that he was a top-tier guard when healthy. The comparison was to Roger Saffold, the former L.A. And Tennessee guard, a guy who might Saffold's a little bit taller. Also said Lakin Tomlinson was another potential comp. Liked the way that he was in the running game, the athleticism. And so when healthy, Jonah Jackson is an upgrade from Tevin Jenkins. You can't ignore the fact that Tevin Jenkins, as unavailable as he was for the Bears, played in 10 more games than Jackson over the last 51, over the last three seasons. So that's a concern. But the asterisk is going to be, when healthy, this is an upgrade, and I do understand why the Bears targeted him. It's $17.5 million in terms of one-year commitment, and then nothing else from that is guaranteed. But this is an investment they had to make.
And to your point, David, about the money and the one-year invest, this is also going to more than likely keep Jonah Jackson motivated and knowing the difference between an ouchie and an injury. I'm not already calling the guy soft by any stretch of the imagination. I got to see some unbelievable video that was out there yesterday. You know, when he was playing left guard for the Lions, this guy for 6'4", 310, he can move.
He can move.
And when he gets moving, you best get out of the way or you're going to get run over. It's pretty exciting. So if you are a Bears fan that is on board with Ben Johnson, then just get on board with this move. You got to believe this is a Ben Johnson move. It's either going to be thumbs up or thumbs down for Ben Johnson here. This is not a guy who's going to come in and dog it. It's just a question is he going to be? I think if Tevin Jenkins was around all the time, I think this is a very similar player. And I think a lot of people like the fact that Tevin Jenkins played to the echo of the whistle or beyond. And I think that's what you're going to get out of Jonah Jackson as well. Plus the fact that he knows the system, knows what he's been in the room with Ben Johnson. You know, he was blocking for David Montgomery. So that's how recently he's been with the Lions. Some good stuff out there. So
can you throw a pass?
I think get on board. The next question. Okay, now it's all about now what? Okay, and I'm with you. Left guard. Let him be a left guard. Don't monkey around. Don't play musical chairs. Let him get in a position and grind.
I think when you look at this free agency kind of class, when we did the round table, most of the guys outside of Dahlman, the guards have been injured. You got Fries, you got Banks. They all been injured.
Right.
So this guy being injured, I know that's the knock on him. But at the same time, I like the fact that, number one, he worked underneath Ben Johnson's scheme and system. So that's a plus for me. I do like the fact that Dustin kind of took my thing. He's on a one-year deal to me. So to me, prove it. And I like guys that's on a prove it deal. I saw the same videos that Dustin saw. I mean, him going running downfield, blocking for Montgomery for the touchdown. I mean, and then he got a little nasty to him. I like that. The thing is, when healthy, I think he's better than Tevin Jenkins, even though he played less games. I don't want him moved around. I want him at left guard, too. I do not want him at center. I feel like if you have him at center, that's just going to mess things up. Have him at left guard. You got your guy right there. Block right there. I love this move. I applaud it. Only for a six-round pick, and you got a starter right on your left guard side. So, great move to me, Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. right here on the Mully and Haw Show. What was your reaction to the Bears non-tendering a contract to the linebacker Jack Sanborn, a part-time starter, full-time special teamer the last three seasons after being undrafted out of Wisconsin? Do you think he'll sign elsewhere in free agency?
It would not surprise me at all if Jack Sanborn ends up being on a team that need a special teams presence, that's looking for a little bit of stability and gives him an opportunity to maybe start over somewhere else. He might be a Matt Eberflus guy. He certainly was needed his rookie year, played a lot more than anybody anticipated on a bad Bears team in a tough Bears season. But he played, and he was an undrafted player. He was a try-hard guy. He overachieved. Jack Sanborn was one of the easiest guys in that locker room to like. And maybe he'll come back. Maybe this is just an admission by the Bears that they don't feel like he was worth the $3.2 million that a tendered contract guarantees him. But he's open to test the market to see what's out there. He would look very unusual and bad in a Green Bay Packer uniform. But they do value special teams north of the Cheddar Curtain. I do wonder about that. I do wonder about other guys and other coaches and other staffs that may look at Jack Sanborn and say, that's a football player. We want a football player. His speed is an issue. His speed was an issue when he was a starter for the Bears at linebacker, but his instincts are off the charts too. So that maybe counterbalances that. I'm sorry to see him go if he is indeed gone. And I think you understand it, but you don't have to like it.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think special teams is a big part of football, and worst case scenario, he's a really good backup at multiple positions. I'm just saying, what are they? Who are they targeting? Is linebacker some deep draft this year, and you want a rookie? I haven't seen a bunch of linebackers on the top potential people being out there in free agency. So taking a look, and obviously Biggsy will be better at this than I am, and David, you're probably better than this than I am as well, but just looking at the contract for Tremaine Edmonds, he is guaranteed $8.2 million. His cap number is $17.4 million. If you were to get rid of him, it would be dead $13 million. So you could save $4 million if you were to get rid of him. I think that buys you two Jack Sanborns.
I don't think that they're going to do that, though. Right. I understand why that would be a point of conversation. He has not played up to his contract.
I think he's got one more year because next year, in 26, he has zero as far as guaranteed salary. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows? Maybe he plays his way. If you're just looking at the tape, though, from the 2024 season, that's not a guy you would have wanted to pay $72 million to over 5 years.
Agree with that.
I'm sad to see him go, local guy. However, I do understand the fact that you don't, maybe that's a little too pricey for them for a special teamer. So I do understand that. I could see Jack Sanborn going to somewhere in NFC North, or I can see him joining his buddy Eberflus down there in Dallas. I can see that, you know.
Good
players
call.
Love to go to where their old coaches are at. So I can see that happening too, which I wouldn't mind. But this guy has proven that he belongs in this league. So I know he's going to be on an NFL team. To go off what Dustin was saying about the Edmonds thing, I think Jack Sanborn's more prone, like you guys said, to play the middle. They got a lot of guys that look like they can play middle linebacker. I don't know if I would have Edmonds cut right now because they need a linebacker who can cover. I think Sanborn's a little too slow. I'm not saying that Dustin's saying he have Sanborn over Edmonds or have him start. I'm not going to take words out of his mouth. But I just wouldn't have him there for that aspect of just he's a backup. Having Edwards and Sanborn there, man, you would get beat a lot in nickel. And I'm not ready for that. He kind of does exactly the same thing that T.J. Edwards does, which is just a cleanup guy, really solid tackler. I think he'll do great, probably, you know, fill in roles somewhere else in the NFL. It just wasn't no spot for him here for the Bears.
It's a great question.
That's the voice of Zach Sabin, a great guest. He'll join us at 9 o'clock this morning right here on The Score with David Haw, which came as a bigger relief to Cub fans during a 16-1 victory over the Padres. Matt Shaw's first spring training hit or PCA's Little League home run on a day after he missed a game with a quote-unquote hamstring issue.
The medical staff, right, is there to provide information and protect them and help them, and not to keep them off the field. And it's important to use the medical staff as a coach almost, like to your advantage. And it's a lesson that young players go through, and then Pete's not just Pete, everybody goes through. But yesterday was my decision, frankly. It was my decision to just say no. And I want to see you run around in the morning, and then we'll be good with it.
All right. So are you good with PCA having that Little League home run, or are you better with Matt Shaw's first spring training hit?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that Dr. Council cleared that up. I did not know who made the call. And since he was erring on the side of caution, that's why PCA sat and created a minor stir for one day at least. It was great to see him round the bases like that and play with that aggressiveness and show you what kind of catalyst he can be in danger on the base paths for the Cubs. Still wonder, every time he does something like that, I'm going to wonder what he would be like at the top of the batting order. And maybe that'll come eventually. Maybe that's too early to talk about. But the big relief was, I think, Matt Shaw not only getting his first hit, but he had two. Matt Shaw with two hits, good day for the young third baseman. He definitely is looking comfortable at the plate. I hope that it continues. I don't think he's playing today. I think they're going to give him another day off
None of the Cubs are playing today, David.
Oh, they're off today. That's right. They have a day off. That's
good. Question
is,
will he be back under the lights Thursday night?
I hope
against
so.
The Royals.
Yeah, give him a day. He's got today to rest. Play him tomorrow. I think that was a relief. It was a bigger relief to see Matt Shaw get two hits, but it was more fun to watch PCA round the bases.
I think the relief, yes. I think the relief that PCA was back out there as quickly as he was back out there and able to do what he was able to do, which is being dangerous, very dangerous on the base pass. But not only did Matt Shaw get those hits, but he also had a couple of good plays over at third. He looked good. He looked like he played the position. Didn't look like he was learning the position. Looks like he played the position. So this is great. And I think I agree with you, David. With the day off today, I think you get him back out there. Again, this will be something different, too. It'll be under the lights. Not that he's never played a game under the lights, but it'll be different playing under the lights at third out in Arizona. Something different that he hasn't done. So I think it's a next step in this whole process.
I mean, the bigger relief is PCA. I mean, we was worried about his injury and see how it might affect him playing. And then you see him running. I mean, he looks just good as new. I mean, that Little League home run isn't a watch. And I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of getting a ticket on Dustin's train about PCA. I think he's going to be not the best athlete in, you know, Chicago. I would say he would probably be the best player on the Cubs probably in the future. He'll be the face of the Cubs. I mean, he just has so much excitement when he plays. Like, anytime he's out there, whether it's on defense or if it's on, like, him running the base pads when he gets a hit, I mean, you
Impact.
Don't know what to expect.
Impact
and that's
player.
What I love about
yep.
him. And I see in the future with him, I think he will be the face of this team. You don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker and the Cubs. But to me, he's the future right now. And Matt Shaw, yes, it's good to see him out there. But PCA, to me, is just electric.
It's a really a fair question, David.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll be here at 8:25. The White Sox were off Tuesday, but their starting rotation could be taking shape. Who would be your projected five-man rotation? And many spots in that opening day rotation will be interchangeable throughout the season. Do you have a projected ace in mind?
Well, I think the ace is up for grabs. Do they have a guy that would qualify even to be called an ace? You've got Jonathan Cannon, you've got Sean Burke, you've got Davis Martin, you've got Martin Perez. Those are your probably four locked-in starting candidates, as Bruce has been talking about it, as you pay attention to what's going on. And then I think you wonder about the health of Drew Thorpe. If Drew Thorpe is healthy, he's my fifth starter. And I don't even know that he's that guy to be referred to as a fifth starter. If Drew Thorpe is healthy, he might be your ace over the course of the first half of the season. These guys are biding their time because the aces of this crew are at AAA. We'll start at AAA. Hagen Smith and or Noah Schultz. That's a 1-2 punch. I don't know where Nick Nastrini fits in. The Sox have a lot of good young arms. It's going to be the foundation they build on. But if I were to bet who's going to If I was going to a futures bet for this season, who's going to be the first half ace of the Chicago White Sox, I would take the long shot. I would go to Drew Thorpe.
All right. I think everybody that you mentioned, David, as far as starters, but are we talking how many different guys do you think will start next year?
10 to 12.
Like, yeah, I'm thinking right? I put the More. Number at like 11 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take
you over.
And I'm going over.
I'd go over.
Right? I'm going over. And I know that none of us really like to say this guy's name, but just in the spirit of the question, how quickly do the Sox need a fifth starter, especially with Drew Thorpe's health being up in the air right now? Mike Clevinger?
Yeah.
I know, right? But he is on this team. I mean, he's a reliever now, Mike Clevinger?
Closer. He's your closer.
He's your
hair on fire closer.
He's your hair on. Okay, but are they going to need a closer? You know, I mean, I just say they may need a fifth starter more than they need a closer. So let's put it this way. I'd put money on it that Mike Clevinger starts a game for the White Sox this year, even though I hate to say it. I will bet that Mike Clevinger starts a game. And Martin Perez is talking like a guy who wants to be a leader and an ace. Now, he's talking the talk. Can he walk the walk?
If Clevinger, I mean, he's a closer. I mean, you probably won't see much of him this season. That's why I do kind of agree with Dustin. He might start just to get some reps because this is just ridiculous. Throw a hat in the air for their rotation and their ace, really. I would say their ace right now would probably be opening day, maybe Jonathan Cannon. My five-man rotation, I got Cannon, Perez, Davis Martin, Burke, and Thorpe, if
yep.
healthy.
Okay.
That's my five rotation. You said it, David, though. Their aces are in the minors, and this is not looking good at all for this Chicago White Sox team.
That's a great question.
Bulls guard Ayo Dosunmu revealed that he could have conceivably played through the shoulder injury that requires season-ending surgery, but he chose to take care of it now.
It was tolerable pain, but it was pain that had to be addressed. And, you know, talking to the doctors over time, it felt like eventually I would have to come across that path to having surgery. So I technically could have, you know, played through the season, but it would have been like a tit-for-tat thing. Like, they went in, out, in, out. You never know when the shoulder could have popped out. So I just thought it was the best to fix it.
Do you agree with the decision, or do you think Ayo should have played through the pain and taken care of the injury in the offseason?
Well, look at the Bulls. They're going nowhere. 10th place doesn't really count. It's a play-in situation. If that mattered as much as people may want it to matter. You could justify playing through the pain, but I don't think it made sense. This is a smart choice. This is somebody with the, taking the long view to this, and I don't have any problem with it. It's not a guy who's avoiding it, – this doesn't have anything to do with his ability to be tough and play through something. Nobody's going to doubt Io's toughness. This is him saying, I'm going to get ready for next year when maybe the games will matter, when maybe things will matter more than they do right now. What this does, as much as anything, pragmatically or from a practical standpoint, it does complicate his trade value. So if you were going to deal him in the offseason, this might make it harder to do because it's hard to trade damaged goods. And the minute he goes under the knife, he's damaged goods. And I applaud him for doing this and being as open as he is because he's getting ready for next season when he's in the final year of his deal. So no problem with Io, but I do think he just made it. And I think this is a good thing. I want them to keep Io DeSumo. He's an asset to the city, to the Bulls, and to everyone who is a Bulls fan. But he just made himself harder to trade.
Made himself harder to trade, and that might be a good thing if you want Io to stick around. I have no problem with Io taking the time. They said this is a six-month rehab. He's not even waiting till the end of the season. He's having this surgery this morning. Today at some point. That's when he's going under. So he'll get out and then he will begin rehab immediately and hopefully be up and running and ready to go in October when the Bulls are back on the court.
Smart decision by Io. I feel like in the game, this is a business at the same time. You're going into a contract year. You want to make sure that you're healthy. Yes, it does probably hurt the Bulls a little bit because, yes, you push back now his trade value. If you're planning on trading him, you probably now can't trade him in the offseason, but he might be a target by the trade deadline. So overall, and then you can see how good he plays, but I love Io. Like I already said, Bouzelas is my favorite Bull. He's probably my second favorite Bull. I love the local guys, especially when they play hard. So smart decision by Io. I love it overall. Take care of yourself, and I hope his surgery goes well.
It's a good question.
That, the voice of Chris Chelios. He's here at 844, our rep from BetMGM. And when the Blackhawks return to the ice tonight over at the United Center, do you expect new goalie Spencer Knight to be between the pipes? How much more likely are you to watch since Knight had such a great debut on Monday night? Can they make it three in a row against Brady Tkachuk and those Senators from Ottawa?
I don't know that they can make it three in a row. The Senators... People are like, who are the Senators? The Senators are pretty good, 30-25-5. And Brady Tkachuk, as people remember from the Four Nations faceoff, is a load. And he's a very skilled hockey player. I hope Spencer Knight is back in net. I think you ride the hot hand. I'll be disappointed if he's not. I haven't seen anything reported as to what their plans are. When you're a team struggling to the extent that Blackhawks are struggling, I think you want to take advantage of every little thing that you can. And right now you've got a little momentum. Back-to-back victories for the first time since December. A hot goaltender who got a standing ovation the other night. And a Wednesday night game in a lost season. Yes, I think you put him back in net. You hope Bedard gets hot on the young gun line with Nazar and Slager. What's their collective age? Is it 50? I mean, yeah, probably 60, 21, 22, and 19. What's that? That's like, geez, 62. That's crazy. That's their top line tonight, I believe. So, yeah, I'm watching. I'm probably watching. I like watching Hawks games anyway. You guys know that. But I think I will make more of an effort to stay with it longer if Spencer Knight is in net.
Yeah, Spencer Knight would be a reason to definitely tune in. But again, if you got into the Four Nations, which I definitely did, then you know this is a reason to watch tonight. Is it Brady Tkachuk? Now, David, who would be most likely to be on Brady Kachuk's checklist? Who is he potentially going to drop the gloves for and fight tonight on the Blackhawks?
Oh, that's Bertuzzi.
Okay,
Tyler Bertuzzi.
I mean, do you think that happens?
No.
No?
I don't think Brady Tkachuk is going to go through the league and pick a guy in every team to punch out.
I don't know. I think that's a way to get your name constantly in the headlines. There is some competition. So that game is at a 7. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop, right?
Yeah.
So, it is March.
7:30. No, wait. It's early tonight. 6:30.
Ooh, 6:30. So
yes.
It is number 5 Florida at number 7 Alabama, if college basketball is your thing. March is here.
Watch Brady Tkachuk.
All right. I'm just saying there is some competition. I want to know who Brady Kachuk's going to fight. So a same game parlay. Can we make this bet? Can we – Brady Tkachuk – scores a goal, Brady Tkachuk drops the gloves, the Sens win on the money line. What kind of a price can we get there? And I hope Spencer Knight's in goal.
Yeah, he's not dropping the gloves tonight.
No?
I don't think he's dropping the gloves.
We're keeping
tonight.
An eye on that. That could be Brandon's open for tomorrow.
I hope. Now I want it to happen. First, I didn't. I was like, I don't really want to see too much fighting in hockey. That's just me. But besides the point. If Spencer
Brandon's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter. If Spencer Knight is not in the goal, like, I don't want to watch. I want to see the young talent from the Blackhawks. I want to see Bedard, Nazar. I want to see now Spencer Knight, like, ride the hot hand, ride the momentum. Like, I was all into that hockey game when I saw Spencer Knight play. And then he's coming out. He was your star last time, your number one star. I want to see him play, and if he don't play, I think that betters your chances overall. If he's the future goaltender and he's your goaltender now, and your future's already here when you got your star Connor Bedard and you got Nazar here, let the future begin now. Well, I mean, what else you got to lose? I don't want to see Soderblom. I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
honestly.
I don't either.
I don't. No. I want to see Spencer Knight in goal. That would make me happy. If he's not in goal, I'm probably going to watch very little, be honest with you.
Trade deadline is Friday. Ryan Donato is going to be a hot name. I bet you I think he'll play tonight. If he doesn't play tonight, it means there's a deal brewing, perhaps, to keep him healthy. Also, with Brady Tkachuk, I hope that he and Ottawa get kind of mad at each other. I hope he gets fed up with being in Ottawa because he was disgusted the other night when the Ottawa fans booed the American National Anthem. So we can hope that maybe that creates some sort of bad blood and he wants to get out of Ottawa and maybe finds his way back to the States and maybe he lands in Chicago.
You're just trying to find a star with
yes.
Bedard so bad.
You need a partner.
What about Marner? Mitch?
Yeah, Mitch Marner. He can come too. Bring both of them. Oh my gosh. Mitch Marner, Brady Tkachuk, and Connor Bedard? Now we're talking. All right. We're going to keep talking. The extra point is next. A lot went on with the Bears yesterday, but even more around the league. Which NFL headline grabbed your attention the most? We'll talk about it next. Mully and Haw, Mully out today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.